Amen, amen. Let's get it together. All right. How many are ready to hear the word of God today? We are in a series called The Way. It's very important for us to really understand whether or not we're tracking with the Lord in walking in His way. And this is the key series that's going to let us know our temperature. Are we on in the zone with the Lord? By finding out what does the way mean? What does it look like to be in the way? Not actually in the way, like stumbling block, but in God's way, meaning that you are walking the way He wants you to, talking the way that He wants you to, acting the way that He wants you to, and you can know without a shadow of doubt that you are in His will. How many want to know that you're in His will? Can I see your hands, please? Okay. All right, well, let's begin in the Word, and we can start there. I want to turn, if you will, we're going to set up everything coming out of two scriptures starting today. One's going to be from Romans chapter 8, starting verse 28 and 29. But before we get there, I want to say this to you, that Jesus has given you and I action steps. Everybody say action steps. That means steps that we are to follow that will lead us to the Father. Actions as believers that we should be walking out day to day. And sometimes it's surprising even to me how often I forget the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's very real problem in the church, because oftentimes we think, I'm going to do to you just like you did to me. Amen? We see that all the time. It's called revenge or retaliation. And we see that in road rage. You know what I mean? We see it all the time. I've seen some of you on the road. But anyway, what we do is that we forget that as believers, one of the first things we should be doing is treating other people as we want to be treated. And what that means is not how treat other people as they treat us, but we treat them as we would want someone to treat us. And so we have to change our frame of mind and begin to ask the question, are we really living like that? Because that's Christianity. Christianity is boiled down to two big things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, your strength. I mean, that's upward. That is looking to the God of the universe and saying to Him, I love you. I love you with everything. I love you with my mind. That means what I think about, I won't put on evil things or unclean things, because I love you. I want you to be the king of my mind. I want you to tell me what I can and cannot do. I want you to be my barrier. I want you to tell me how big I can be and how large I can grow to. I don't want to listen to the world tell me that I can't and there's no possibilities. I want you, God, to rule this thing here that says nothing is impossible to him that believes. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. And then it says all your heart. Wow. Christianity is about understanding that we are to love the Lord with this. That we won't allow anybody or anything to take its place on the throne of our heart. What does that mean? Let's make that very practical. Sometimes we can love people more than we love God. And you know what happens when we make people our God, they become our idol? When we make our husbands or our wives or our friends or even our pastors our God, when they fail or falter, our world crumbles around us. The Lord says, I want you to put me back on the throne. Let me be the Lord of your heart. Let me guide what you want. Let me tell your heart what I feel, so that when you walk outside, when you see a hungry person, I can just, you know, touch your heart and you can touch their life. Let me be a person that can resonate through you so that you can have what you want. You know, oftentimes the Bible says that he will give us the desires of our. And oftentimes we've been taught to want the wrong things, and he knows what we really want. He knows what we really desire. You know, many years ago I shared the story of how it was Thanksgiving, and nobody, you know, I ministered to so many people, and in my college days, and I led a group of college students to the Lord, and we just studied the Bible. But then when it came around Thanksgiving, you know, oftentimes people would look at me and say, well, he has so many friends. Because, he has all of us. He's teaching, so I guess he's already invited to Thanksgiving. And so what? Nobody invited me to Thanksgiving. And I remember, I'm not, you know, just don't cry. Nobody's crying. Anyway, I remember in my room, laying on my bed, and I said to the Lord, I said, God, nobody loves me. All that I pour out, nobody cares. Nobody's there for me, and nobody wants me. And I'm crying like a big old baby. And I remember putting an ultimatum to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you don't talk to me right now, then you don't love me either. Has anybody ever tried God like that? You know, it's like, can I do that again? How many have tried God like that, to be honest this time? Amen. Man, I try. I'm like, I'm on my bed crying like a big old baby. God, talk to me. And, you know, I was bold enough. I gave him a countdown. I'm going to count to three. Uno. Dos. Three. And I remember listening quietly. And guess what I heard? Nothing. And I went, God, you don't even love me. And I remember it right as I said that, my phone rang. Brrr, brrr. Those were the ones we used to pick up. Had the cord. How many remember those? You can only go so far. You remember those phones? Hello? What's wrong with you, Steve? I said, who is this? They said, what's wrong? I said, I don't understand. And it was a friend of mine. They said, you know, I was sitting in church and the preacher was preaching. And while the preacher was preaching, I heard the Lord say to me, get up and call Steve. And I told the Lord, I'm not getting up in the middle of service. Everybody will see me. And the Lord said to her, get up and call Steve. And she was like, well, I didn't want to do it, but I said, maybe it's just my mind. And God said, you better get up. So she got up, went to the lobby, picked up the phone, called me, and she said, now I know something's wrong. What's your problem, Steve? And I said, you were used by God. Don't worry about it. Click. How many know God knows what you need? See, I realized at that point in my life, I'm saying that I didn't have anybody, but I wanted God to prove his love to me. But really, what I really wanted was people. And sometimes we go into our zone and we say, it's just me and God. And you just lying to yourself? It's not just you and God. You need people. Come on, somebody. You need to be loved. The Bible says God is love. You know, one of the greatest blessings in giving is that when the Lord says, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall God give into your bosom. No, that's not what it says. It says, shall men give into your bosom. In other words, God uses people to show his love to you. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, would you love me? No, you got to say it with the big potty mouth. Would you love me? I love you, man. We have to allow God to infiltrate our barriers. There are some of us in the room right now watching, and they're hesitant to really open up to be loved. Because they were hurt. They either had a father that wasn't like God, and so they see God like their father, and they think he's irritated with them, he doesn't love them, he's unresponsive. But I need to share with you the truth. The truth is that God is love. And he loves you so much that you don't have to protect yourself anymore. He's the one person you can trust, and you can put your guards down around him. You know, sometimes we want to love people and we say we can't. But the truth is, if we allow God into our hearts, he is love. And the more God we allow into our hearts, the more love we show other people. You know, many times in marriages and relationships, they're breaking down, and we say this ominous statement, I don't love you anymore. But the truth is, you're not loving. It's not that you don't love anymore, because you know the truth is, the Bible says three things are eternal: faith, hope, and love. They're the three things in the world that'll never go away. So if you ever fell in love, you still have it. It can't go away. But sometimes we cover it with issues and pain and hurt, and we say, I don't love you anymore. But if you allow God into your heart, then you will become more like him, and the love will flow out of you. Let me tell you, it's not over, and it's not at its end. Many years ago, I remember watching a documentary on National Geographic. Anybody watch National Geographic here? Anybody watch the History Channel? Okay, anybody watch Lifetime? Shame on you! Gotcha! Gotcha! You better turn that thing off. Lifetime will mess a person up. You'll have wife watching Lifetime. The husband come home. Hey, baby, I'm home. Why, you 2 minutes late? Who you been with? 2 minutes late, baby. I got you a biscuit. What's wrong? Lifetime. How many know you got to watch what you watch? Look at your neighbor and say, what you watching? What are you watching? Turn the other side and say, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. Sometimes in relationships, we have to allow God to flow in our lives. And can I say, not just in marriages, but in stepping beyond your boundaries to love others. When was the last time you walked across the aisle and hugged somebody who had a different complexion than you? When was the last time you made an effort to go to someone that lives in a different generation than you? When was the last time that you honestly said, I will get rid of my fears and my stereotypes of other people? Love covers a multitude of sins. Can I say that again? Love covers a multitude of sin. There is no sin that love can't conquer. How do I know this? Well, I'll go back to my first premise. God is love. So what did love do for you and I? The Bible says in John 3:16. God so that he, that whosoever should not, but that was out of love. So love produced a son to give you freedom. And here's the beauty of it. When his son died on the cross, he never gave any stipulations that you had to be a certain kind of person in order to receive this love. The Bible says he shed abroad his love like seeds, that all you need to do is let it plant in your heart. Revelations tells us something very important. Many times we read the book of Revelation and we think that it refers to some spooky thing in the future or to sinners. How many heard this phrase? Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man open up to me, I will come in and sup. How many have heard that before? What is that referring to? What's that referring? Is it talking about asking people to be saved? How many believe that? It's talking about people coming to Christ. How many believe that's not what it means? How many are not going to answer my question? I see. I got a lot of work to do. Let me tell you what it means, guys. That was written to the church, not to the world. Because the church sometimes forgets the great price and sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. And we become hardened again. And we isolate ourselves. We stop fellowshipping. And we begin to feel that people are against us. And Jesus is referring to a believer when he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I challenge some of you today. Who is here today that the Lord is knocking on your heart? I see you, sir. The Lord is asking, take down your barriers. Take down your fears. Take down your walls. Stop being afraid. Let me back in. Let me sup with you. Let me eat with you. Let me love you. Sometimes we don't need money. We don't need a house. We don't need all the fancy things we think we need. But to truly walk in his way, we need to be able to accept love. You know, one of the most challenging things is to accept love when you're wounded. When people hurt you, and people talk about you, and people do things to you, it's hard to accept love from people that remind you of them. But the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Man, what a daunting task. How do you love your enemy? Has anybody perfected that in here? I haven't. I struggle a lot. Sometimes when people hurt me, I could go into a shell and I can say, you know what? I didn't deserve that. I don't need that. I just need to get them out of my life. I don't want them in my life. I just can't handle that. And I become unloving. It can be family members. It can be my own children. It can be friends. It can be people in my church. And you know what? As a pastor, I live by the same standards you live by. And the Bible is so sweet when it says, I will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. And the Holy Spirit is kind enough to return to me and say, Steve, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And you know what? I change. I want to ask you a question. You know, there was a time when my children walked into Walmart and they saw one of those bubblegum machines. You ever see one of those in the store where they got the little plastic and sometimes they give you those rings that pinch your finger? Anybody have one of those things that you slap people with and they're like gooey? You know, ever seen that? And then right next to that one is the one with the stickers. Everybody seen that one before? Tattoos that are fake, don't look real. And then the bubblegum machine. And I remember my daughter said to me, "Dad, I'd like to get a bubblegum. Can I have bubblegum?" And I remember going in my pocket just like a good old father would. And I had a $5 bill. Went back in, and that's not going to work. Came out with a dollar bill. And I said, "Oops, sorry. All I've got is a dollar." She said, "But Dad, you need to make change." Talk them too well. There are some things in life you can never get unless you change. And sometimes it takes the children at heart to remind us. I want to remind you, don't settle in to just coming to church and not changing. Frontier Church is a unique church that is designed to reach the lost, to serve our community, and to experience the presence of God together. But in unity, we must be unified. Love unifies. That's the one language everybody understands. You know, I've watched over the years people that have hurt each other, but you know, even if you can't speak the language of Swahili or Spanish, or maybe you can't speak Chinese or Mandarin, one thing always translates to a person of another descent. L-O-V-E. Love. I'm asking those of you here today that you not hide yourself in a pocket, but do it Jesus' way. Find somebody you don't know and share a little bit of love. Walk to the front of the building. Find somebody you don't know. Share a little bit of love. The Bible says this, "Ye which are spiritual." So I speak to the mature ones in the room. "Ye which are spiritual, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, go to him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." If you see yourself as a spiritual person, and I'm sure many of you are, you should be the very first role model for the people around you, that you will cross the barrier and find somebody you don't know and help them. This city needs you, but we cannot achieve that without love. Colin, come here, sir. Don't leave yet. It's okay. It won't be long. Come here. This is Colin. Everybody say, "Hi, Colin." Did you get the microphone? Come on, mama. No. You can sit down. I'm not going to call you up. She's scared to death. No, it's going to be very short. Ready. All right. Colin, when you came to the church, before he was saved, what was your big issue?
I had a problem with race.
And he had a problem with African Americans. You know why? Because one day they caught him at a bus station and they broke his jaw. And it hurt him. And he held on to that for years. But something changed.
I got saved.
You what?
I got saved.
He got saved. Oh, you can do better than that. When you got saved, did you try to work on loving people, or did something change immediately?
Instant.
And he began to love somebody that didn't look like him. Do you know what that final factor was? It was love entered into this man's heart, and it cleared a multitude of sins. Thank you. Now they got to rush on to work. He comes early. And then they go to work, and But that, isn't that faithful to come just to be a part of the word? Today, Jesus gives us a command to walk in his ways. And throughout the scriptures, we find that he went to the Syrophoenician woman who was a Gentile, a person that considered in Jewish society to be unclean and dirty. And yet, love goes to the unclean and to the dirty. The Bible tells us that one of the craziest places that Jesus showed up was at a major party. Did you know that? Man, they were drinking. They were cutting up. In fact, some of the people at that party, the Bible says they were chief sinners. What in the world is that? How many of you can recognize you used to be a chief sinner? You weren't the Indians, you were the chief. Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say
amen.
Let the church say
amen.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And a woman. Some of y'all, woo! Woo! He went to this party, and these jokers were wild. And you know what he did? He invited his righteous friends. Pharisees were there too. And he walks in this party, and they're going at it, drinking and everything. And instead of absorbing into their culture and falling down to their worst denominator. And guys, let me say this. Sometimes when we go on jobs, we want to fit in so bad that we stop loving those people and we fall down to the worst denominator. So if they gossip, we gossip. If they get off early, we leave early. If they talk about the boss, we fall from our highest perch and we go down to their standard. Can I say this? Raise your standards. Raise your standards. You're not called to be like them. You're called to be a light set on a hill that cannot be hid. You're called to be a beacon to them, to take them through the rough waters and the shores and the rocky sides that they may be able to come in to your dock and rest. You are a lighthouse to them. Jesus was a lighthouse as well. He stood there and he began to say three stories about lost coin, about a prodigal son, and about a lost sheep. And in each of the stories, he ended with this statement that heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. He didn't conform to the crowd. He informed the crowd and informed them of God's love. And I want to challenge you, wherever you go, the Lord wants you to inform the crowd around you of God's love, that he loves you. You know what's amazing about that story? He was at Matthew's house. They called him Matt back in those days. And Matt was pretty wild. He wasn't the craziest, but he always was a guy everybody went to his house to party. How many of you are like that? Raise your hand, please. I saw one of my choir members. You better not. She was like, oh, you were. Okay, I got your keyword was. Okay. And old Matt had all these people over his house. Can I say this to you? What do you stand for? Can I challenge you that when they come to your house, may they not stumble by what they see? Would you look at your neighbor and say, don't make me stumble? No, you got to look them in the eyes. You got to look them in the eyes. Don't make me stumble. And so Matt had all these guys, but he had plenty of liquor. He had plenty of alcohol. He had that wine that was like, ooh, And it was all in the house. And Jesus told this story. And these men were convicted. And all they were looking for, listen to me, they were trying to satisfy themselves with partying, drinking. They were trying to close off the hurt by, you know, reveling in craziness, being at the edge of what's crazy. They were trying to ignore the pounding sound of sorrow and the empty gap of missing something in their life, and they filled it with stuff. And nobody had the answer, and everybody just kept getting worse and worse and worse until love showed up and was willing to go into the house of the chief of sinners. And he told them that God loved them. And in that moment, lives changed. They found that what they were missing in their heart was Jesus. That love has come to rescue them. How do I know? Because good old Matt is the same good old Matt who ended up writing the book of Matthew. And he wrote it to his Jewish friends, the ones who had ostracized him because he hung out with publicans and sinners. For Matt was a tax collector. And at the end, he wrote a letter to his enemy and said that Jesus loves you. You can never read that book again without understanding that the love he received caused him to write love to his enemy. Today, as we close, I want to challenge you here today that maybe I spoke about you. Maybe you've been hard on yourself and you need to learn to love yourself as God loves you. You're holding on to sin way too long. Let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, let it go. Say it again, let it go. Now sing it with me. Let it go. Let it go. How many want to be forgiven today? Just forgiven for anything. You've got something in your life you want forgiven. Hold your hand up and keep it up, please. Whatever it is, just hold it up. Okay? No matter how bad it is, hold it up. Let's pray now. Just hold your hand up in the air. Jesus, forgive me of all I've done. And for this, I will live for you and serve you. Thank you. Done. Right now, there is no sins in the building. It's that easy. Now, the challenge becomes, would you go give love to somebody else? Maybe you can go buy someone lunch. Maybe you can buy me lunch. I'm kidding. Today, if you're here today, and maybe you heard this message that the Lord does love you, and there's nothing you've done wrong that he cannot forgive. I'm speaking of murder, rape, and guys, as much as it makes us uncomfortable, pedophile. God will forgive all sin. Maybe it's simple. You just have unforgiveness. Maybe you've been racist all your life, and you've looked at one race or another in a way that is ungodly. Jesus will forgive you. Maybe you've had fornication last night. Maybe you're a sinner. Or maybe you just didn't do all God wanted you to do. Today, love calls to you. And God says to you that he wants you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to heed my call today. Would you stand to your feet, everyone?